Hear these words from the Old Testament chapter of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning, you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord, for I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance."
As many of you know, I started seminary a few years back and finally, finished that. Fun accomplishment, but I've had a few classes, to be honest. I don't remember much. I took them because I had to take them to fill a slot, and there's one particular class, I don't know if it's because it's intensive or I just really didn't connect with the subject. But the only thing I really remember from this class is about midweek, we started talking about the story of Jesus who went to the house that the young daughter, everybody thought was dead. He said, "No, she's sleeping," and wakes her up and then says, "Get her something to eat." And somehow the conversation in the classroom turned to, if Jesus could fix any meal for you, because we know he, makes the best wine out of water, he should be a good culinary cook, what would that one meal be? I went first and I said, I love the homemade chicken and noodles. And so we went around the room and everybody said the things that they really enjoyed. And somewhere along the line, it became, what if it was, your last meal? What would it be? And pretty soon, by the time it got to our professor, they were talking about what they'd have for breakfast, what they'd have for lunch and supper, and the wine and the everything that go with it, the appetizers, the entrees, the desserts. But one of the things I thought was interesting that nobody really said, I want lobster and steak, some, over-the-top meal. The meal that they picked was one that they would enjoy the most. And it seemed to me, when they would describe the meal and talk about it, it was that comfort food, the one that kind of reminded them of home, that brought them that sense of peace, that centeredness. And I've wondered about Jesus' last meal. Why the Passover? is this really what Jesus would want for his last meal? I mean, he could have easily delayed a week, but instead he timed it for him to celebrate with the disciples this Passover meal. I've wondered why. In fact, as a child, I greatly misunderstood this meal. I thought Jesus' last meal was really literally just bread and wine. And to my surprise, there's a lot more to that. And even I remember hearing a little bit later as a child that the passage when it talks about the one who betrays me will dip his bread in the bowl with me. I thought, oh great, they're Italian. They had cheese dip or marinara sauce. But that's not the case. So I decided to start researching this unusual meal to understand it better. There's a lot I could share with you tonight, but for the sake of y'all being home before 9 o'clock, I'm going to hit some of the highlights. Just from this passage we hear about, you know, it needs to be a roasted lamb. It can be a goat or sheep. That's not too bad. I can get behind that. But the bitter herbs and veggies that was dipped in salt water, vinegar, or haricot. It was not a cheese dip, but instead is a paste of fruits, nuts, and a very sweet wine. And of course, we had the bread and wine. The bread, not like ours, not yummy and fluffy, and it was a quick bread like matzah. Not much time to develop flavor. It was broken into three parts, and so they ate as an appetizer. Okay, I can understand that. Then they made a sandwich with part of it, and then they ate the remainder as dessert. Not exactly my idea of a dessert. But this part you might find interesting and get behind. Throughout this meal, they drank 4 cups of wine. This doesn't really strike me as a last meal, at least that I would choose for myself. And I've really wondered, you know, why would Jesus choose this meal? Especially the Passover, as I had originally understood it, was about God saving Israel's firstborn from death, but then we find the very next day, Jesus dies. So I did study, research, and I had many conversations with some of my Jewish friends. And what I found out is that they never dwelled on the death of the firstborn. They didn't dwell on the lamb that was slain. And for even the early church, that didn't come till the end of the second century. And still, there were people who argued against it, saying that the sacrifices talked about in the Bible were performed in a temple by the righteous, not the ungodly, like those who crucified Jesus. For them, it's never about the sacrifice. And even if we look through the Bible, we find God time after time talking about how he disdained sacrifices because it's not about the act, it's a reflection of the heart. Otherwise, it's pointless and meaningless. So I keep coming back to the question, what is important about this celebration and for Jesus on this night? Part of the celebration, if we were to go back in time, there's a part where they sit down and they retell the story. And they read passages like the one we just heard. And they have time for contemplation, and they ask 5 questions, all under the rubrics of why is this day different from all other meals, festivals, or celebrations? And so what makes this night, this meal, so special in relationship to Passover? Let's go back over the passage we just read and hear how the Israelites would have first heard it, how Jesus and his disciples and even the early church would have heard and remembered and celebrated this festival. At the beginning, we have the month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the first year. For them, this marks a new beginning, a new era for Israelites, for the nation of Israel, is also for Jesus and his disciples, that new age, the reign of God breaking forth into the old world. Tell the whole congregation of Israel, this is the first time that Israel has been called a congregation. They're no longer individuals or slaves or tribes, but instead a nation, a congregation. This is a new identity with Christ a movement that begins and later turns into the church and into Christianity. Take a lamb for each family. And if a household's too small, share it with the closest neighbor. They would hear community and communion, sharing a meal with one another. All the you shalls in this passage was not thought about as law where they had no choice, but instead choosing obedience to follow God's desire for them to be something different than everybody else. On all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Israelites who immediately heard Pharaoh. People around Jesus' time in early church would think of Caesar. Both of them called themselves gods. And so when they hear this passage, it's a challenge for them to think, who are the gods in their lives? Is God really the center of their lives? The blood shall be a sign for you. The early church in Israel would not hear the words blood and sacrifice of the lamb through this, but instead they would hear the word sign and understand about God's love and protection and calling them to freedom and liberation. A God who continually makes covenants and says that I will always keep my covenants. They remember and thank God for becoming more generous, merciful, and gracious. These are just some of the things from this passage that we read that they would hear. So what does that mean for us? If we take the same passage and same things I brought up, it should remind us when we celebrate this meal of the new life in Christ that began on that night in the upper room, as well in our lives when we accepted Jesus as our Savior. That we are called together as a community, a congregation to be in communion, not only with God, but with one another. We remember that God desires the best for us to be free from the worldly things that bind us and seek to rule our lives. And each time that we come to this table, we make more room for the one who should really be at the center of our lives. So as we hear the words of institution every Sunday and even tonight, one of my favorite parts is, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. We're reminded of the new covenant made by a loving, merciful, and gracious God that makes room at the table for all who hear and accept his invitation. I was talking to my grandmother last Sunday. She hasn't been feeling very well, and so I wanted to call and see how she was doing. And she said, well, I'm feeling good enough. I really wanted to get to church because they are celebrating communion last Sunday. Well, she's Southern Baptist, and they only celebrate maybe once or twice a year, so you don't miss that day. For them, for her, it was very important. In our conversation, she asked me, in celebrating communion every Sunday, how do we keep it from becoming mundane, repetitive, and even rote? I thought, you know, that is a good question for all of us. Now, it may be hard to remember all the symbolisms that we can associate with it, or all the significance of the Passover meal and communion. So let me sum it up in this way. As we celebrate communion tonight and in the future occasions, let me challenge you to take time to pause and to reflect, not in order to ever exclude you from this table, but to think and contemplate in ways as they did about how is this meal different than any other? How are you different from before through partaking of this meal? Have you made room for God? Amen. Will you please join me in hymn number 428, An Upper Room with Evening Lamps Ashine.